Well, we finally made it to 2021, as has been mentioned several times already. I know that at the end of last year, there was a lot of discussion about how great it would be when we could flip over to 2021 and start new things. And yeah, it's been crazy. It's been a crazy start. So there are still things that people do, though. There's New Year's resolutions that there's a lot of talk about with a new year and as the new calendar year started. I did a Google search of the top 10 New Year's resolutions, and this is the list. You could probably name them off yourself, but they are exercise more, lose weight, get organized, learn a new skill or hobby, live life to the fullest, save money, quit smoking, and spend more time with family and friends. Not a bad list of goals, maybe something that that we all have in that list as well. You know, and these goals or these resolutions, they're good, but we have spiritual goals to work on. Now, these resolutions that are talked about and that are made, they're done by people based on the Roman calendar or man's new year. Something to think about is that God has a new year as well. I know it was mentioned a week or two ago. This year, it's on March 14th on our calendar, according to my little card that I carry in my wallet, that many of you have as well. And we don't make New Year's resolutions when we, after that day, right, when we come to that, the sacred New Year, as it's referred to. But we do something very near that New Year. And you don't need to turn there, but on Leviticus 23:5 says, on the 14th day of the first month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And that's only about just over 2 months away. So something to think about. And we are told to do something as we approach this new year and the Passover, right? You can turn to 1 Corinthians 11. We'll read this scripture. It's read every year at Passover. So 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, right? Examine yourself, just like with these goals people have. It says, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. And it says, for if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So we're told to work on goals, these spiritual goals, right before Passover, which is near that new year that we're talking about. And we want to prepare for that time. We want to achieve our goals, right, and have a success, whether they're those other physical goals or spiritual goals, but certainly on those spiritual goals. And we don't want them to fade away, like often happens with New Year's resolutions, right? We want to achieve them and move forward. Mr. McKeon's sermon last week, he said something that was based on an article by Mr. Ward. It said, we will not be the same next year. We'll either be closer to where we want to be or further away. And it's something very important to consider as we move towards Passover in just a couple months away. So we have some goals to accomplish. Big goals. Big goals. You can turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. This is a scripture that my daughter Kirsten sent me a little over a week ago and kind of led into the title of this sermon. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, as I mentioned, Passover is coming in just a couple months. It's actually the evening of March 26th this year. We need to be working on our spiritual resolutions now, before that time comes. So we're going to look at ways to get rid of the old and to become that new creation and work on those goals in our lives. Some of the information for this from this comes from an article called Metamorphosis, a New Creation. That's on ucg.org. And then 7 Steps to Making a New Year's Resolution Stick. That was in Harvard Health Publishing. We're not going to go through 7 steps. We're going to have 4 steps today that we'll talk about on how to make our goals or our resolutions, our spiritual resolutions, come to pass. So the first point is to dream big. Dream big. What do you want to accomplish? Now, it could be some of those other goals we talked about, like weight, financial goals, right? Those kind of goals. But we're focusing on some spiritual goals today. What dream, we'll call it a dream, it's a goal, do you want to accomplish? And what is needed in our lives to become that new creation, right? So you might say, before Passover, I will stop, and then something, right? Before Passover, I will stop maybe some sin, I'll work on some perfection, whatever it might be, right, as working towards our goals. Or I will read the Bible in a year, or read the entire Bible, or be involved in God's work in some way, or get baptized, right? That might be a goal. But we need to think big in our goals, our spiritual goals. Think very big. Let's turn over to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 19. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Right? That's where our goal should be. Our resolution, right? For those treasures in heaven. Where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then in verse 33, very commonly read scripture, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And that's it. There's our goal right there. Seek first the kingdom of God. Our goal is to be in the kingdom of God, to be that new creation and be part of God's family. There's nothing bigger, there's nothing more important than that. So is that attainable, right? That's a huge goal. It's a miracle. Right? We just heard about miracles. We heard about the miracle of our existence, just coming, being in existence in this world or in this universe. It'd be a miracle to be a spirit being in God's family, in the kingdom of God, right? But that is our dream. That's our big goal. And we need to be a new creation to get there. But it's not unattainable. Right? We don't make goals that are unattainable. And we'll see that here going forward. Let's turn over to Philippians 1. Because it can seem like just a huge goal, right? I want to be in God's family. I want to be a new being in the kingdom of God. Is that attainable? Let's turn over to Philippians 1. In verse 6. These are some words of encouragement to speak to that exact question, this big dream that we have, or this goal of being in the kingdom of God. Philippians 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I think that applies to us, right? God is our Father. We have Jesus Christ as well. And we are children, right? God's our Father. And I think of my own children, and if you have children in your life, right? How do we treat them? There's nothing we won't do to make their lives a success, right? To complete it. No matter what happens, we are there to help them achieve their goals and to grow and to then continue to be, we want them to be in God's family as well, right? But we are there for them, and God is there for us. And turn to Philippians 4, verse 13. It's another very encouraging scripture. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Something we should all remember. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Right? So is this attainable, this big dream that we have, this goal to be in the kingdom of God? God is there for us. And it says we can do all things with Christ and through Christ. Let's turn over to Jeremiah 29. Another thing just to kind of reinforce this idea that there is a great dream out there, or a goal of being in God's kingdom, and God is there for us, wants us to make it. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, another one that I like to go to often because I find it very encouraging. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. This was said to Israel, but again, I believe it applies to us. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a good future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me, and when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and will bring you back from your captivity, which we can be in as well, this captivity in this world, the influence that we have by this world. But again, it's saying that God is there for us, wants us to succeed. He wants us to succeed in our goals, and especially that goal of being in his family, to be a new creation in the kingdom of God. I'll read one more scripture in relation to this. 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. So again, think of that and that love that our God has for us. It says, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So that we will be that new creation, right? And we're not there yet. We are not there. And every year we have the Passover to remind us. And as that comes up, we should be thinking about it. We have this great dream or goal, and it is attainable. It doesn't mean that it's easy. Goals aren't easy. If they were easy, they wouldn't be goals. It would just happen, right? You would just have it. It's not easy. They don't just happen. So what can we do to attain this big dream or this big goal in our lives? And what can we actually do before Passover? Well, point two is to break big dreams into tiny steps. Break big dreams into tiny or small steps. From the article that I referenced, the Harvard Business Review, it says, small steps move you forward to your ultimate goal. Look for surefire bets. Just getting to first base can build your confidence to tackle and succeed at more difficult tasks. Don't disdain easy choices. If you start every plan with a couple things that you're guaranteed to achieve, your goals will become more easily become a success. They go on to reference a study about loyalty programs, and they give you where you get a card, like maybe at a coffee shop or something like that, and you want to get that checked off or marked off, and you get a free coffee, right? There was a study done that found if when those cards are given out, those tickets, if they mark off two before they give it to someone, the consumers actually return more often than if it's given without punches on it. And what was found from that is that, right, you have this goal. Maybe I need to get 10 punches on this card to get a free coffee. Well, if there's already two done out of the way, it makes you feel like you can achieve it, right? So you already have part of that goal done, and you're moving towards it. It's an interesting study I found, right? We want to get that free coffee. So make a couple of easy goals, a couple of very easy goals in our spiritual life or your spiritual life. And the first one should definitely be to involve God, right? A very small and easy goal is to say a prayer, right? Small step. Let's turn over to Proverbs 16, verse 9. Now, I'll just read Proverbs 16, verse 9. It says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Right? So that easy little first step, something we can check off, is going to God and saying, "God, I have this dream, this goal. I want to be in your kingdom." Right? I want to be in your family. But I need help. That might be something we could all do, or should all do, before Passover, especially. Right? Without God's grace and mercy, without his help, we cannot succeed in any of these goals, especially being in his kingdom or being a new creation. In our Christian life, our walk, it's a process, and we have a long ways to go. We have a long way to go. Let's turn over to Luke 14 in verse 28, kind of speaking about this process that we're in. And that it is difficult. Luke 14, verse 28, it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down and first count the costs?" Right? We've got steps to do, and it's comparing to this building this tower. "Whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down and first consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." And my point with that is that there is difficulties here And there are steps in this process. And we're on this point here about breaking into small steps. I'll read some more from this Harvard Business Review article that I read. It's called The Progress Principle. So we need to get a couple small wins in here. And we mentioned one about just saying a prayer to God. But this Harvard Business Review article says the progress principle is, of all the things that can boost emotions, motivation, and perceptions during a workday, the single most important is making progress in meaningful work. So saying that's what helps people in the day. And this is, you know, speaking about business and working on maybe some of those physical goals. But it says the single most important thing on achieving those is feeling like you're making some progress. And the more frequently people experience that sense of progress, the more likely they are to be creatively productive in the long run. Whether they are trying to solve major scientific mystery or simply produce high-quality products and services. Everyday progress, even small wins, can make the difference in how they feel and perform. So we're trying to make it to the kingdom of God, right? That's our goal. That's what we read was our ultimate and big dream. So give yourself a reward. Celebrate those small wins. Look at those things that you have accomplished, right? Some of those things that can be easily done is read a book of the Bible, right? Maybe just read one book of the Bible, or the Old Testament, or the New Testament, right? We have those spiritual things. Those personal goals can be done the same way that we mentioned before. But it's important to realize that as we check these things off, to realize that we are making progress. We are. There was a letter sent out by Mr. McKeon, and it said something that we should note here. It says, how about going to the back of your church notebook and allocating a few pages as the start of a journal to write down some of the accomplishments, memories, and events of 2020? And maybe we want to do that coming up to Passover, right? What had we done since last year? At my work, we have these teams. And so the frontline staff get together and they have these meetings. It's called a unit-based team. And they build goals for the year. What would make our work unit better? And there's always things that could be done better, right, with any group. And they come up with ideas and they work on those through the year. And what always happens at the end of the year, you hear things like, we're just not getting anywhere with this. Why do we even continue this meeting every month? And we're just not getting anywhere. But we put together a list of things that had been accomplished by going back through some meeting notes and that kind of thing. And really, it was impressive of how far we had come as a department. But you just don't remember those things as you're going along, right? All those small steps. And so it's something we can do with our spiritual life as well and those spiritual goals, because we are making progress. And it can feel like that even at church, even here. Like, what are we doing? Are we accomplishing anything? We're in the same place we've always been, or maybe it's getting worse. Well, it's important to think back on what we have accomplished. Last night we were trying to figure out just how many people had been baptized over the last year. And it's substantial, just in this congregation. Maybe up to about 10 people, which is a lot. It could be more than that. It could be a few less. There's been multiple, though, in the last year or two. We have growth, right? We have a new baby in the congregation. We have new babies coming, right? That's a good thing. That's showing there's growth. We're going in the right direction. There's a new generation in the church. We have, many of you don't may not know this, but we started getting kind of tracking how many people are attending these services. And probably today and like last week, we have about 200 people at services today. They're not all in this room. There's many of you online, and welcome. I didn't say hi to you earlier. But that's a big number. That's a good thing. And we haven't seen those numbers for some time. So we are making accomplishments, and it's important to notice that and to say, you know, we're going the right direction. Even nationally, there was an announcement that came out that the Beyond Today, I believe is the program, had the highest response rates ever. Just this last, I think the last 2 months. So there's things being done. We are making progress, and it's important to notice those small steps as we move forward in our we're trying to grow spiritually, right, and achieve our spiritual goals. And those things add up. They add up to big wins, and we're moving that right direction towards that ultimate goal of being in God's kingdom. There's a letter that was mentioned by Donald Ward. I'm going to read part of that here. It says, oftentimes we sell ourselves short when it comes to what we can accomplish in life and what we can do to make a difference in the lives of others. Some sell themselves short when it comes to the service that they can render to the church of God. We must not come to be comfortable with just treading water and becoming spectators in the arena of life. We must step out on faith and face the world with confidence and courage. We cannot leave the future of our lives and the future of our children to circumstances and chance. So we have work to do. There is work to do. There are goals to achieve. So make some small wins in your life and in my life, and it will add up. We have all changed, and if you look at wherever you were last year at Passover, you have accomplished some of your goals. You are moving in the right direction. And sometimes I see this in my life when, and maybe you've seen this as well, you might feel like, I don't know if I'm really even progressing here. And maybe you meet somebody or a family member who used to be part of your life years ago, a friend, let's say, and you realize that you are on a different path than them, right? Your life is heading a different direction because you're focused on achieving that goal, the kingdom of God. And you see that in maybe a family member who's, that's not their goal. And so notice those things. It's good to know that you are moving in the right direction. And it's good to dream big. So break those big dreams into small enough steps, small things that you can achieve, and remember them. We are striving for perfection, but we're not going to make that by Passover, right? We're moving that direction, though. But dream big and work towards those goals that we have, that goal being a new creation, being in God's kingdom. So the third point that I have today is learn from the past. Learn from the past. We're talking about becoming a new creation, right? Being in God's kingdom and that goal. Back to that same article that I referenced earlier, it says, anytime you fail, consider it a step towards your goal. And it says, why? Because each sincere attempt represents a lesson learned. When you hit a snag, take a moment to think about what did and didn't work. Maybe you took on too big of a challenge. It says, if so, scale back, right? And it talks about making those smaller goals possible. So take those lessons learned and apply them, right? If we fail, if we take a step back, which we all will, use that as a lesson to move forward. Romans 3:23, you don't need to turn there. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all will fall short again. That's how it works, right? We're human. We're working towards that goal of being in God's kingdom, of being a new creation. And we need to learn from those things. Let's turn over to Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 21. It says, "I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good." And I think we could all fall into that category, right? We want to do good. We want to move towards this goal of being in the kingdom of God. "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." And it says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And we can feel like that, right? We take a step back in our goals or the direction we want to go. It says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So it's a struggle, right? It's a struggle. And mistakes happen. Our spiritual dream is a constant struggle in this life. I'm going to read another scripture going along with this point. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. And this is talking about examples in the Bible, in the Old Testament. It says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." So we have to be careful with this, because it is difficult. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." So there is a way of escape. There is a way forward. It's something that we must remember. And that's important to remember because it can become discouraging. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures on this because I believe it's something we need. It is important to remember as we're reaching towards that goal of being in God's kingdom. Let's turn over to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. All those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you and those who war against you," and we might feel that maybe not a spiritual, not a physical war, but right, we have a spiritual war, right? Things that we deal with all the time. We have problems, difficulties. "Those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." It's very encouraging, right? Verse 14 says, and it's speaking to Israel at this time, right, which these things all do apply to us. It says, "Fear not, you worm Jacob. You men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." It's It's very interesting there. It says, fear not, you worm. Right? You worm. And sometimes we can feel like that, right? Like a worm. It's like just a detestable thing, right? That if you saw it, you would just step on it, is what you'd do if you saw it, right? And that's how it's being described here. It says, fear not. The article I read, it was Metamorphosis, a New Creation on UCG.org, talked about this and compared it to that worm becoming a butterfly, right? Where we're not the butterfly yet. Maybe we feel like a worm. But God is there and is going to help us get there, get to where we're heading. Let's turn over to a couple more scriptures here. 1 John 1. 1 John 1 and verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, which we've established, right? We all make mistakes, and we're talking about learning from them and moving forward toward our ultimate goal. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, something always important to remember when we take a step back the direction we don't want to go. Use that as a lesson to move forward. I want to read one more scripture here on this point. Let's turn over to Philippians 3. And we're talking about using those times where we fall a little and we don't meet our goals and we fail to move forward, right? Keep moving towards our goal, to learn from them and not give up. Philippians 3 and verse 12 says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. And I think we can all say that as well, right? We're not there yet. We're not there yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So that's what we're encouraged to do, right? We learn from the things in the past, put that behind us, and move forward. Move forward to that goal and to that ultimate goal, that big dream of being in the kingdom of God. Brings me to my fourth point here, and that is commit yourself. Commit yourself to that goal, to that great dream that we all have. Reference that same article from earlier. It says, make yourself accountable through a written or verbal promise to people you don't want to let down. That will encourage you to move through the tough spots. You might do that with people, with some of those physical goals, right? You say, we're going to work together on this, or hold me accountable in these things. We definitely want to go to God, right? And say, this is the goal I have. This is what I want to do. We want to do that in prayer, right? With our spiritual goals or those spiritual dreams that we have, saying that we're committing ourselves to this, which we do and we have done. Mr. McKeon's letter also recommended writing down some of those goals as well as you make them and as you're moving forward, right? What would you like to happen, right? And make a plan to accomplish those things, to move in that direction. Let's turn over to Titus 2. Titus 2 and verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Which is what we should be doing, right? It's part of our goals and part of what God has asked us to do, moving towards that ultimate goal of being in the kingdom. It says, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." So we're committed, right? We're living this way of life. We're there with knowing that Jesus Christ is there for us and that we are his people. We are God's people. And we are zealous for his work. We're moving forward. We're committed to it. We're working on that dream of becoming a new creation, right? And part of God's family. We're committed. Let's turn back over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9. Again, we're talking about making sure that we are committed and committing ourselves to that goal and to God's way of life and to making it, to being part of God's kingdom. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So it's saying, run that race, right? We're committed. We're moving forward to win the prize, to accomplish that goal, our dream of being in God's family. And we need to never give up. Never give up on this. I can remember being over at Mr. Miller's house and in his office, and he had a picture. It's a famous picture. It's a drawing, and there's a stork, and it's swallowing a frog, and the frog's head's in the stork's mouth, and the frog's got his hands around the neck of the bird, right? And it says, never give up. Right? The frog can't let go, ever, or he's going to get swallowed. And that's how it can be for us, too, right? But we're committed. We're committed to succeeding. It's the same in a lot of movies that we see. Maybe you've seen Rocky, right? Or maybe Rocky's an old movie. Maybe one of the Captain America, something like that. The main character, right? They're beaten down. You know, they've worked hard. They've gotten to a point, and they get beat down. They get beat down hard. And they don't want to get back up. They don't want to, but they do, right? They get up, and they win. They go on to win, right? If they don't, it's not a good movie. So, but it's an example, right? And we know that we can feel like that, we can feel down, but we're committed to continue on. And we know that God is there for us. Let's turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of all uncleanness, with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And we know that, and that's the direction we're going. We're committed. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is what we're talking about today, right? Becoming that new creation. It says, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So for us to change, we must take on that new mind, right? We must be committed to it. Committed to moving forward, always. We all have goals in this life, right? We have those physical goals. We have spiritual goals. We have spiritual goals. We have plans and dreams. As we move toward Passover this year, let's work on those spiritual goals that we have. And dream big. Dream big on those, with those goals. Right? We want to be part of the kingdom of God and in God's family. That is an amazing, huge goal that we have. We are not there yet. We are not there. We can change. We can grow. In fact, we are growing. And I hope you see that in your life and in this congregation as well. But break those dreams, those big dreams, down into small steps. Learn from your past and apply that. And then commit yourself to achieving that dream of becoming a new creation.